forever. Dog.
The goody goody. Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. You get to tell it, but also it plays upon
the way he says it. The fact that, because it's funny. I think that's funny. I identify as, call me there. I identify as a location.
Sure.
That's a funny joke.
Yeah.
It's a funny joke.
Yeah.
Like, am I saying I love that guy? No. That joke is funny.
But the perspective
the way
behind
he says it,
yes.
And the sneering attitude
the
behind
sneering
it is like,
attitude,
yikes, man,
and
why
that
are you
plays
so
upon,
mad?
And why are you so mad?
Which is why I don't want to be mad either. Because I don't get to tell that guy not to be mad and then go on stage or Twitter and be mad about shit all the time.
Yeah.
Just because I think I'm mad about the right shit.
Yes.
So anyway, please continue, Sabrina. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I think that it's playing upon this idea that people that are genderqueer are angry and that they're, you know, like a lot of these setups for that kind of sneering attitude about it is this sort of like, I don't want to have to make adjustments for this new school, mm-hmm. for these weirdos. And it's like, I mean, everything's constantly changing. I mean, it's just such an old, tired perspective.
Sure.
And it misrepresents what everyone who actually knows genderqueer people, mm-hmm. it misrepresents it as like, as if everyone has changed their pronoun and is just like so angry
like
about being misgendered. And
it's like, I can never pronounce that word right. But like we're saying about like, self-care and self-work and all this mm-hmm. stuff, as though it's something that only rich white kids that go to liberal schools in the woods do or whatever. And like, it's literally everybody. And also that's a person who goes by a stage name. Like, come on, man. It's the same shit. Like, and I'm not trying to equate pronouns with stage names.
That's actually
but they're
really
in the same category of changing something about yourself to more accurately represent who you want to be or who you believe you are. And like, that's the same
shit. That's actually...
dude.
Brilliant.
Thank you. I mean, it goes by multiple. It's like, it's the same shit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's literally the same stuff. It's of the same juice or whatever, you know? Like, gender is important. Gender is important and not, like, all these things are true, right? And, like, your name and all this stuff. I just want to be very clear that they are of the same nature in that it is a person going, this is what I want to be.
Yes.
It actually doesn't matter what's behind it. That's all I have to appreciate. That's it. That's the only thing I as a human being have
to. The more averse you are to moving with the flow of that, the more there is a muscle inside you that is aching that you need to.
Absolutely. That you're just afraid of something yourself. And like I really also cannot expect everyone to know. What's really funny and something that I talk about in my jokes lately is that like I made that decision and because I mean I'm like gender queer too. I don't whatever that definition is, but for me it makes I mean I've been like quote misgendered my whole life. When mm-hmm. I was a kid, you know, I identified as female because it was the 80s and mm-hmm. I was a child and mm-hmm. like whatever. And that I was assigned female at birth, but I never felt very girly and also whatever, none of it.
Me too.
All that shit. But I mean, I got people yelled at me for going into the wrong bathroom for my whole life. Like, it was just like a whole, this is experience that many people have had. And like, then all of a sudden I was using they, them pronouns. And now people are like, what's up, girl? What's up, sister? Hey, ladies. And I'm like, what happened that now everybody thinks I'm a woman again? It's very strange. It's very strange.
That's really, really. Because
I was getting sir.
Well,
I was
it's almost
bro,
like when you're in
getting...
a relationship and then you can start getting hit on. It's like now that
wait,
you've claimed
what?
It, it's like, come on, bring those tit old bitties over here with that pussy.
It's so weird, dude. But I mean, I also just like one time when I was in Kansas, I forget where I was, like Kansas City. And this dude was like, hey man, what's up? And I was like, oh, not much, what's up? And he like realized and then also realized and then and I was like, I don't know what you're realizing, but I'm down for all of it. And he was like, cool man, have a good one. And like I just went with it, because like going with it just feels so much better. I don't know why I brought that up, but it felt
well. Going with it just feels so much better. Another goody goody lesson.
Mm-hmm. Lessons.
Going with it, because I also I used to be so like, I remember feeling like so hot in the face when like people would call me a boy in elementary school And I would just remember feeling like, so, you
know,
like,
did they
this
call
is a
you
huge...
a boy because they thought you were, or they were calling you a boy because they knew
in like
hurt?
A teasing kind of yeah. way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I felt like
did
a
you
boy.
Get called gay when you were a kid, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I felt like, because I remember like getting this mushroom cut after I got my after I got my eyes. I think I've told the story in the podcast, but guess what? If you hear it twice, you win $13. Write in on Twitter and collect your $13.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to
$13 is not actually real dollars. It is a virtual dollars.
Pueblo, Colorado.
So yeah, I got my eyes like they put stuff in it so that you couldn't really see. And then I got a haircut at Zeller's, and then my mom went shopping. And so then it was just me and the lady doing my hair. And she clearly thought I was a boy.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, use it, baby.
Sure.
Get
yeah.
the shortest mushroom cut uh-huh. you'd ever get. And so I got it. Like, it was like shaved, like really, really, close to the skin. And it was like, and I remember feeling so good about it and pretending like it was an accident, like pretending like I
oh,
didn't
sure.
know to my mom. Like,
I
oh
feel
my
like
God.
I got the same haircut.
Yeah. And just, but then like getting out of the
is
pool
like
and just like
grade?
Feeling it. It was like a fourth grade, I'd say. Yeah. And like feeling it at like just getting out of the pool at the Y and like feeling the back of my head and being like, now this is living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
no, I get you.
I was, and just, the shame, both of like feeling good, but then bad about it
oh,
and all
yeah.
of those layers.
Like immediately, like the way people would look at me when they realized, well, this was my story of it. Like them seeing how much I liked it and perhaps seeing why I liked it
mm-hmm.
and judging that where I was yeah. like, oh, I can't have this because this is like too, this is too real.
Did you grow out your hair? Did you do a whole drag thing like I did for years?
Yeah.
And years?
I mean, I had long hair as a kid, like, I had long blonde hair
whoa.
Until I was like in second.
Natch?
Oh yeah. I was like,
are you natch
close to a toe?
Blondie?
This is all my hair's fully natural color.
Oh
right
wow.
Now.
I'm looking at I'm looking at a bronze.
Gray coming in. Yeah. It's brown now, which is weird because I still think of myself as like blonde, but then like first or second.
Hey,
grade,
is brunette is any gender you called brunette? Which is
yeah,
very
think,
rare because most
I
things
think
that are both
genders. I
usually
people refer to men as having brown hair.
They
I
wouldn't
don't
say
think
brunette.
They say that dude's a brunette.
Oh, I thought I found something.
I mean, I don't mean
I
to,
thought I found the one thing
I don't
thing
mean to
yuck
was... your yum, but oh, there's a, I mean, there's a lot of gender neutral stuff out there, which is why this whole thing is so funny because it's already there.
It's already
it's
there.
It's just expanding and making people think about stuff they don't want to think about. Because I ultimately, like, I think a lot of people, once you tell somebody, hey, this is what I do, I use these... They immediately go, oh, I did something wrong. This person's making me feel shame. How do mm-hmm. how do I get this out of my body?
Yeah.
And I don't want to think
How's
about
it not
this.
My fault?
And I don't know that people are doing it out of like animal. It's just an animal response. And mm-hmm. it for a larger on a larger scale, it makes people think about their own gender and like people don't want to think about
yeah.
it. They're just like, I'm a woman, hear me
what
roar. Or like, I'm
me?
A
yeah.
dude. And like,
yeah.
because it's been sold to you, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
It's been sold to you, whether you want to look at it through a capitalist lens or just through like a story lens. Like it's
mm-hmm.
just been sold to you that is a big part of who you are. And
I prefer capitalist
deals,
the capitalist deals,
deal,
honey.
Deals.
And like people just think they've settled that. They don't need to think about it. And like, cool, man, you
it's
don't.
Fun.
And
yeah.
you can just go like, oh, thanks for telling me. And I've had that experience a lot. So I definitely want to say that on this podcast. I've had a lot of people go, thanks for telling me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have people apologize and me go, you know, you don't really need to, I appreciate it, but you don't need to apologize because you didn't
you
know
didn't
we just met
wrong.
And
yeah.
I'm telling you because like I want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, thank you. And then it's like, great, you know. And if people it also has allowed me to give people the time and space to be talking about me to someone like in a three person conversation.
Uh-huh.
Speaking about me in the third person, like I was talking to Rhea about that the other day and they said the other day and just
yes.
correct themselves in the, and do I get mad about that? Absolutely not. Cause they're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
like, yeah.
it's not, I do it. I make mistakes. Like I
yeah.
make those same mistakes.
Yeah.
Also make other mistakes. Like, so
yeah.
if I want to be forgiven for the mistakes that I make, then I have to forgive other people.
Well, in a way, the way you're talking about it, it's not really even a mistake.
It's not
just
even
a
really a mistake.
It's a preference, and it's a shift that you've made that makes you feel more comfortable and
mm-hmm.
I think it's really blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying? I completely interrupted you again.
That I think it's cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
I think you're cool.
I think you're cool too. I was gonna compliment your, you know, your like long hair butch aesthetic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I was gonna ask you like when you, if you liked the short hair, when did you sort of reclaim or come to the long hair? As because like
yeah,
your
I guess
long hair is not feminine. Although I will
I've
say
never...
I appreciate what it does for you in like TV roles or like acting roles.
Yeah, I haven't. So here's the thing. I haven't really like in thinking about that story in last episode, I was talking about how in elementary school, I was like way closer to my gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I took this huge detour to put on hoop earrings and try and score a peen only to shake it twice and be like, I cannot shake it more
sure
than twice.
Uh-huh.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank
they're
you.
Here, they're, thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And but that like high school was this big detour, and then I've come back to myself. Mm-hmm. The long hair is, I'm like, is it a vestige or you know?
Sure,
but,
yeah.
but I like it. I like the diversity of it, where I can put it up in a top bun and feel like it's out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I really like having my floppy longs on the side and then my hat on the top. I feel
it's a
pretty
solid look.
I feel pretty protected
because it feels like your gender. It's not like, you know, it's what I person from the outside.
Yes. Okay.
It's fully external. About it is that your hair breaks the like the long hair butch aesthetic, which is coming around and I really appreciate.
Yes.
You know, and like, I don't know if you like or are open to using butch or whatever, but I use it very softly of like,
I'm butch.
Okay.
I'm butch daddy.
Cool. Yes. That it breaks this like stereotype that like to be butch or to be masculine of center or to be gay, you have to have short hair.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I think it's really powerful and really interesting, you know, because like I have felt like, I think also in casting and stuff on TV shows for a while, because I don't know if you get breakdowns where it's like athletic, you know, like, oh, she's one of the boys.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah,
I know
yeah
what you're trying to say here. And then like, it'll be me and like Emma Willman and then like a room full of women with ponytails and tank tops, you know? And
yes.
And you're like, okay, well, I
know who's going to get cast and I know whose fingers have never been in a pussy.
Yeah.
You, Alyssa.
And so I like that your hair is doing the work of that ponytail and bringing the reality into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you feel about gay casting if it's not a gay person?
It's really hard to have an opinion on that. You know what I mean? Because it's
I
like,
think if the intention is,
I think it's every each case is.
Yeah, it's all intention.
Yeah. It all really depends.
Uh huh.
I think it depends on the character. I think it depends on, and you never really know.
Yeah.
You never know why somebody
role,
gets a job.
Like for so Ashley Tisdale, who's my new friend as well as a famous pop star.
Yeah.
She plays a role on this show Mary Happy whatever that's on Netflix and the arc of the character,
spoiler alert,
it wasn't in the breakdown of the audition or whatever, but the arc of the character is that she comes out, she's married to a man, comes out at the end of this season. I think it's like
spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert.
I feel like these days spoiler alerts are irrelevant.
I mean, like, you can binge the season I'll put a spoiler alert in the thingy. I'll put a spoiler alert at the head of this. But I think that that's really cool, actually, that a person that looks like her, that has all these fans too.
Oh yeah.
Can see her in a role like that. I think there's like a profound impact there that's positive for the gay community, and she is an ally. And so in that case, I think that's terrific.
And it's also queer. You know, that's the thing is like, I think queerness is something that is impossible to describe. So how can you say, you can't really say that someone is or isn't queer from the outside, you know?
Yeah, I think queerness is literally everything that takes you out of what the perception of normal is. And everyone has felt queer, and everyone has been, like, I do these, last week I was in Montreal doing like my stand-up at a at a company, but then also I'm like talking about the importance of embracing diversity.
Sure, yeah.
And now what I've like woven in is just that, like, you're all, everyone's diverse. Everyone knows what it is to be divorced, to be different, to be just like, what a nice revelation that we don't have to be normal, that there is no normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's pretty no normal. Cool. There's no, like, I think you said earlier in the episode that, like, to be perfect, like, there's no such thing as perfect. Cause it's, if you think you're trying to be perfect, it's based on something you think.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're just, the only thing that's perfect is everything that's happened, you know, and it's not based on anything other than showing up for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't, there's no such thing as a perfect set. Even your greatest set that you've walked off stage, I'm sure you went, oh, I should have said that, you know, like, it's just, and some of that is cynicism. Yes. But some of it is just going like, yeah, man, the only thing you can do is show up to the best of your ability each day. And there's no such thing as perfect, and there's no such thing as normal.
That is 100% and 150% as well as 200%.
Wow!
So true!
True! Hollywood Scoop! Scoop, scoop,
do you like acting?
Scoop,
do you like writing? Scoop, do you write? What kinds of things do you like? What are you writing right now?
Segment? Are we going into it? I mean, I like acting. I was on the all of it hasn't aired.
You're on.
So I'm on it. The show called Good Trouble.
Cool.
Which was really fun. And I got to work with some really great people.
Where will people see it?
It's on Freeform, which was ABC Family. So that's like an actual cable thing.
Yeah.
And I think you can, they have a streaming.
Isn't
it's
it cool to act?
Disney Plus or something. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Isn't it cool to know the lesson of like, it apply, like, I feel like the same thing applies to stand up and writing and acting and basically everything, but like, just being you is going to be the way through. Or the way I feel with acting. It's just like, the more me I am, the more successful a scene is, the more I feel like I'm in it.
Sure, yeah. Just being like present in the thing. And yeah, it's not about the lines. That was the thing I had to learn, was like, oh yeah, it's not about the lines, because I get really hung up on like
getting the line right.
Because the first job I had, like, acting job after making my own show, that I was playing myself, so like getting the lines right wasn't necessarily,
it's just like however you would say a thing is the way.
Was Adam Ruins Everything, where you do have to get all the words right. You that, like, a lot of that had to be word perfect because you're relaying information that has a footnote on the screen.
Yeah.
And so that kind of put this machine in my head that was like, it has to be word perfect, and you get, and it's like, no. And I love that show. It was really great. It was really hard and super challenging. And if I had it to do now, I feel like my approach would be so different. But I really loved that show, and I'm on like airport TVs often for that. And a lot of people know me from that, which is very funny and cool. And think that I'm Adam Conover's sibling, which
That's
is
funny.
Not the case at all. And adorable that people think it's true, which is so funny to me. But yeah.
I guess it's like such a factual show. You played his sibling on the show.
Yeah.
So they're like, that's a fact.
Because of my
I'm not going to be fooled. Adam told me.
Adam, this is a true story. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
And then what's the role on Good Trouble?
Lindsay Brady, stand-up comedian. So I'm really, really expanding my abilities. But it was a lot of fun. Stand-up is so difficult to do on camera like that. When
really?
You're not actually doing a stand-up set. I've found you have to get takes with nobody actually laughing.
Yes.
And so you have to like do your timing without the external.
Not dissimilar from my corporate comedy.
True.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
JK,
I wish I could find
people
out
will
what
LOL all over the office.
I did a corporate gig once and I was so hesitant to do it, and I was right.
Honestly, it's like the same vibe as like coming out of the closet back when you were like so scared about it. It's like, here we go.
And this was like a gay thing. And like, They wanted like a crew. I don't remember what it was called, but they wanted what they needed, not Gay what they Corp. wanted. What they needed was like a cruise ship comedian.
Yes.
Like one of those. And I'm just not that guy.
No.
I'm just not that guy.
No.
And I was literally doing stand up at the top of a boardroom of 10 mm-hmm. people who were looking at me like, and so these two people were being so supportive and so nice, yeah. and I appreciate them so much, but I was just like, this is
no one's coming tonight.
Like none yeah. of this is none no of this. Nobody. Off. I don't like this. Yeah. You guys don't like this. Yeah. I get it. Like this is just not a fit.
It's like fucking someone that you're not attracted to. It's like, it was no one.
So yeah. nuts. But grateful for the experience, you know?
Yeah, like college gigs too. Just like also this funny sort of like it's almost like a survivor challenge where you're like, I have to be on the stage for 45 minutes.
Yep.
So
what is the contract
fast I'll minimum? Talk.
Yeah. I remember doing it at college and making a reference to Home Alone and nobody laughed and I was like, oh my god, I'm old. I'm really
oh,
old.
Oh shit.
These
yeah.
are very young.
They yeah.
Making reference to Elf.
Will you do stand up forever and ever?
I don't know.
I think I will.
I don't know what the plan is.
Like for me, part of knowing that in my mind and saying it is like there's something soothing about it. Because I also, I like you and anyone who does stand up has a constantly evolving relationship with stand up.
Sure.
You do it, you know, like there's like this sort of heyday that I remember in New York where I was like on stage all the time mm-hmm. and tight as
crushing
be.
It
but it's
you
also like
get on stage
if you look into like take the flashlight into the other parts of that life is just like not at all
totally.
A life that I want mm-hmm. but also it's just there's something so pure about it
sure
as a writer and a performer yeah like Gabe Liedman and I were talking about it and you know he's like show running Pen 15 and doing mm-hmm. all this stuff but he's like the one thing about stand up that I will say with like all he's like I write so slowly I don't get up off often but like I always want to be known as a comedian
sure yeah
yeah
it is funny how it's like this badge you know or something yeah. that's like badge of honor which is cool but what I've realized is like the badge is on the inside and I am saying badge with a B.
The vag is on the inside
because I think it I at least I've fallen victim to feeling as though if I'm not doing it this way like Emily Heller said something really profound I don't remember the details or like the specifics of it on Good One that Vulture podcast where you talk about a specific joke or something but she was talking about how she had this mental like audio track about stand-up
mm-hmm.
that was like these specific people in the back of a specific open mic when she first started and I was like oh yeah. me too you know like oh I just have this mold that was set from
yes.
2011
of like what it is
in
to
the
be
back
a stand-up?
Of this open mic in Chicago and I still 9 years later eight
yeah.
years later
yeah.
operate based off of those like that's not where I am
no
you know like that's not where I am as like you said putting the flashlight in the rest of your life it's like no this isn't how it works
no.
it doesn't have to work that way anymore
yeah
there's a lot of ways to do it and like that was really freeing like hearing her say that and realizing that I was thinking that too and just going like oh I don't have to think that
well
way
it's
anymore.
The same thing it's like again going back to like this idea of what a normal stand-up is
sure.
or a normal success like
yeah.
the perfect
yeah
yeah
and that like it, what is it I don't know especially because like the rules from 2011 of like what a perfect stand-up is don't apply
no
because like even the same sort of like gatekeepers or whatever, like I'm trying to use the most neutral language for this thing because I mean it neutrally, but
mm-hmm.
like those things, like the kingmakers or whatever are not
all,
the same.
Yeah.
Like the end result is not the same.
Yes.
You know, like, I
yeah.
mean, people lament all these specials.
It was
and
like
stuff,
a Comedy
like,
Central special. It was like
yeah.
a New Faces, It Just for Laughs. It
yeah.
was like a this or a that. And
you
now,
gotta get this and then you gotta get that. And you gotta,
yeah.
and it's like, you don't really.
No.
There are many paths. You know, and like it's people lament how many specials there are and like or like how many streaming networks there are, how many shows there are and stuff. And like, sure, there's a lot. But to me, the thing I always try to keep in mind is more comedians and funny people are working.
Yeah.
The more of these things that there are, the more people are getting paid.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I have.
Yeah.
No
I mean, like everyone
that
lost their shit over Nanette. Is it stand up? Is it not stand up? What is? I mean, that's how stand up. It's like. I mean,
I think it's a valid conversation.
Sure,
to not lose your shit over.
Yes,
to just go like, yes. Huh, interesting proposition. Is it stand up? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a valid introspection.
Without the subtext line read of like, Hannah Gadsby stole my one man show.
Sure. And I mean, I think said this, so I'm not taking credit for it. But she was like, nobody said that about the special. Nobody was like, that's not a special. That's not a, you know, it's like, so there's a reason why we do it with this person and not that person. And I don't know what the reasons are. I'm not saying they're specific.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't actually matter what.
There's just a button called female scream and I wanted to know what it sounded like.
You gotta put it in there.
And you said it doesn't matter and I just wanted to express that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? I am going to be like incredibly, like rigorously honest and say I haven't seen the whole thing.
Oh, if you haven't seen the whole thing, then that's so funny because you must think it's just terrible.
What do you
I
mean
started
that?
Watching the special because it's like the whole point is that the beginning and the end are like so wildly different.
Sure.
Like the beginning is to serve the end and the beginning is like I watched the beginning and I was like, well, this is terrible stand up. And then someone was like, no, you have to watch it all the way through. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it's like a magic trick. Mm. You know, it's like look over here and laugh at this bad stuff. And then at the end, it's like I'm going to punish you for doing that,
sure,
which
sure.
was fun. Uh-huh. It was kind of like BDSM-y.
All right.
I think it's just like it's cool to for me. It's like this idea that like I love that in Chelsea Peretti's special there's like cutaways to dogs and characters in the audience. Mm-hmm. I think it's just fun since we live in a different time and other things are possible and we're just kind of building off of, you know, the evolution of performing. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that a stand-up special can be all sorts of different things.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I mean, I think that speaks to like we live in the best time that's ever been.
Definitely for a witch like me.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to see that sometimes because there's a lot of awful shit. But here's the rule.
I can think there's of one awful shit right now, Rhea. Come
there's
on.
There's awful shit all the time.
Come
is the
on.
Problem. You know? Like, I read these books that are from, like, 40 years ago, and they're like, this is happening, and this is, and they're not even specific. And you go, like, oh,
you're
man.
Reading 40 years ago books?
Sure, yeah.
You're
60,
smart.
70, not really. It's the same book over and over.
What is it? You won't tell
nothing.
Me?
No, I won't tell you.
Really?
I won't tell you.
Does it start with a T?
Nope. Right. But I also read like Pema Chodron books and like I was reading something and she was like, you know, politics are difficult right now and things are terrible. And I went and I looked at the copyright and it was 1996. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. Things were terrible in 1996. It's just we have brains that fill in information.
I was Googling things because I'm writing a thing in set in the 90s and I was Googling in 1999 was when Clinton was
impeached.
Was going to be impeached, but then not. But then I Googled the age of Monica Lewinsky and she was 22 years old.
Yep.
What a psycho thing that we did as a society. I never thought about it that
joke.
Way.
She was a punchline.
She was a punchline. And it was like this perspective of like this wicked 22-year-old woman who used her power to seduce the president. It's like, oh my God. We as a society have come very far because
incredibly
I don't
far.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
I mean, it would not happen that way again.
No,
you
people's
know what I mean?
Perspective
like, it would not,
on it would have been like, why did you like this? You fucked this girl's life over.
Yeah.
I mean, not even that was so complicated.
Some people, but I mean, some people,
you
here's
suck.
The thing. Some people had that perspective then. It's just that they weren't, you know,
in my room
in media and creating the narrative or whatever.
Yeah.
We just don't know because they didn't have social media profiles.
They weren't able to.
Like
you gotta speak up.
They weren't able to.
They weren't able to.
All
I
right.
feel like there was like a point that I was trying to get to. And
you were in 1990. You were reading older books.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was saying you're smart and Pema Chodron.
It just that like these things, it is a great time and it is a great time because people are thinking about things in such a much more expansive way. Uh-huh. Even if the like mainstream establishment, whatever word you want to use to describe this sort of the narrative that is being portrayed for us,
mm-hmm.
like we know more than ever, I feel like, that you can opt out of that and you mm-hmm. can participate in it as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can not participate in it as much as you want. And like you can just go like, I like Nanette. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's all the participation that you have to do and go like, yeah. Oh, wow, there's a lot of stand up to choose from right now.
Yeah.
And like, is the old guard, the old boys club, is the, you know, the whatever of it going to fight to tooth and nail to keep it that way? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's how everybody survives, is to keep what they have.
Yeah.
But the best way to survive that I've been learning is letting things go and giving them away is how you keep them. You don't keep things by like having a tight fist around and trying to control everything around.
Self-destruct sequence activated.
Yeah.
I like he.
Like, caring about the things you care about and not having to prove to other people why you care about them. And also like questioning why you care about them. Like having this mm-hmm. loose relationship with the things that you enjoy is like, for me, the best way to carry.
I can learn from this.
Because I used to create my identity by the things I liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So loosening on, because if I like something, I talk about it so much.
That's not what I mean. Talk about
but
it.
But like in terms of
talk
like,
about
you're talking
thing.
About
like
you don't,
well,
you don't
you
have
suck
to prove.
You don't like it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because that really just says a lot about you. And this goes back to that gender stuff. It's like, you suck because you're doing something that makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like, well, I probably need to look at me.
Yes.
Like I've started saying.
Excellent. Like, absolutely excellent.
Who was that? That's the first one that I've been like, what is that from?
I'll tell you later.
Is it Ren?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay. That's not for me. Not like, I don't like that. Or no, I don't want to do that.
Oh,
I
yeah, that's
say,
not
like,
for me.
That's not for me. Which implies that it's for someone else.
Hatred? That's not for me.
That's not for me. That's for somebody else.
Politics? That's not for me.
That's for somebody else.
That's for somebody else.
Well, what about you, Sabrina? Like, what are you, like, what's on your mind right now?
I just haven't been writing as much. So it's, you know, like when you get back into,
yeah.
When you get back into something and there's like a bit of, like in the Gabe Liedman podcast, I was like, it must feel so cool to show Rand Pen 15. Feel like it must feel mm-hmm. so incredible, because that's like, you know, for me, that's like, I would love to create a show or like to be a part of the creation in such a pivotal way of a show that is like so iconic.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I just feel, I mean, like now I just feel like that, you know, that they could take it away and I don't even know who they is.
Sure.
And that I've been thinking about that as I've been like hunkering down to write and just like waiting for the flow is like, did they take it away? And it's no, it's in me. It's in me, but I've got to like just keep on sitting there and believing and keep on typing and like, mm-hmm. and I, you know, it's grueling and it's all about the satisfaction at the end of the work. It's like sure. working out. It's like when you're doing the push-ups, you're not like, this feels great, but you're
this.
Like at the feeling after is.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's the feeling after like 5 years.
Yeah. So I'm
also, is it
about,
okay that I'm fully yeah, laying on your
I love
floor.
That you're fully laying.
It's just a very comfortable podcast, you know?
I know.
I do have the shoulder thing.
The vibe is sleepover, so this is perfect that you're yeah. on your way to
Did
slumber.
Did you have a lot of sleepovers when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You had them?
I attended them. They were my favorite because yeah. they were always with my girlfriends that were yeah. my best friends.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't have that vibe, but
none?
I went to a lot of sleepovers. I never really I didn't have people over at my house a lot because it wasn't a situation that I could have people over in.
No.
Because just didn't have that kind of house. But I really love sleepovers because I got
well,
to be
describe
like
the house.
Well, I my mom and I lived with my grandparents.
Ooh.
So there wasn't like a lot of space. Mm. You know, there was like it was their living room.
Yeah.
It wasn't really my living, you know what I mean? So it was like couldn't really have like
it would be like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
8-year-old girls running around the house.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really, it always kind of felt like my house, but not all the way.
Hmm.
Which is like, okay. But now I'm like really, like I had people over for Thanksgiving. So I was like super grateful to just like have, and people came over to my house on Saturday and made like friendship bracelets.
Oh, that's
and I was
so
like,
cute.
I don't have a job. And then I realized like, oh, your job is to enjoy this right now.
Yeah.
Like just enjoy having people at your house. And have them tell you it's, like, cozy because you've, like, really invested time into, like, smells, you know? Like, I, like, really enjoy candles and incense and stuff and, like, creating mm-hmm. a space that's like comfortable for people.
I mean, I definitely, we had people over for Thanksgiving, and what a complicated holiday, but just a day to be together where mm-hmm. there's no expectation to, you know, send an email.
Yeah.
And
also just like
okay
a day to be together.
A day to be together.
I feel as though there is sort of an ultimate fighting of the inherent like colonialism in the holiday by truly being with people that you love and, mm-hmm. and expressing that love for them and gratitude for the people in your life.
Yeah.
Like, because that was definitely not around for colonialists.
And that what you have, have is enough is
exactly
anti-capitalist.
What I have is enough and I'm not going to take more than I need. And like, I'm going to provide for, you know, like I was inviting people
share.
That didn't have any plans and like, they weren't like sat. It was just like, hey, why don't you come over? And then mm-hmm. that worked out, you know, like, to me, that's like antithetical to the colonialism. That's the idea of it
mm-hmm.
that sort of got spun out of what it truly was, which is the American idealism of like, oh, America's about kindness. Like, no, it's not. It never has been.
Yeah.
But we could make it that way.
For one day.
We could make it now.
Okay, let's close this out with a homemade meditation that we share. And we'll go back and forth and we'll do two affirmations each.
So we're like guiding this meditation?
Yeah, we're guiding the meditation. We're taking one breath, then I'll say a thing, then one breath, then you'll say a thing. It might sound like there are squirrels in your attic, but that's not necessarily true. And even if they are there, there's ways of getting rid of them.
If you stand in one place long enough, something happens.
You are enough. And also, you don't have to go on Instagram too much.
Pretend your phone doesn't exist.
But not before subscribing, rating 5-star, and liking my podcast as well as Rhea Butcher's podcast.
Three swings.
Three swings, baby. Thanks for swinging around with me, Rhea.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to swing through.
Enjoy your serenity, listener.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.